Welcome back. Welcome in. Emphasis on the welcome back. Boy, it has been a little bit of time here since we've talked to you all shareholders in this here Lion's Share podcast. It's been a month, which is actually kind of funny because it doesn't feel like it's been that long, but simultaneously it's felt very long. So here we are on the cusp of NFL free agency. Free agency starts tomorrow, March 11th, and the NFL season officially kicks off on Wednesday. So the moves are going to happen quick this week. So we're here to talk to you all about what we see happening here in the free agency period and the offseason for the Lions, as well as a little bit of a NFL draft preview. We'll touch more on that in April when we get closer to the draft, but a little sneak preview in this here episode. So we're back here with the boys once again, and we'll have the college football expert on the second half of the show here to talk a little bit about college football, and then the draft will be encompassed in that segment as well. We're recording on a new platform, so sound might be a little different. Hopefully everything on the up and up, and equipment upgrades will be made as we approach season three of the Lion's Share podcast. This is kind of like a purgatory season in between season two and season three as we are in the off season. So it's great to be back, though. It's great to be back and talking Lions football. So, boys, it's been a little bit of time. What are we feeling like now that we're a month removed from the season, and what are we looking forward to as we're about to eclipse into NFL free agency period?
You know, it's been a nice little break. I will say, just like the players, we work very hard, so it's nice to get a nice little vacation, some well-earned PTO, I think. There's a lot to look forward to. I don't know if you guys, obviously, I'm sure you have been kind of reading some of the buzz, but there seems to be talk that there's a legitimate Super Bowl window for the Lions, and it wasn't just like a Cinderella story one-off. I think people are looking at them as like, they make a few moves on defense, then they're going to be the real deal for the next few years. So I'm just excited. I'm excited to see what free agency brings. I'm sure, you know, we'll touch on that and what we're all looking for in the draft, as well as it feels a little bit different this year being in Detroit. So a lot of exciting things coming for Detroit football, which is something we don't usually get to say.
Yeah, Mitchell touched on all the good points there, but draft coming to Detroit, a lot of buzz to the city. And what a lot of guys are saying is that, you know, not only do they have a window, but they kind of hit their stride a year early. They've got all that free agency money, and they've got a young crew. And with what Brad Holmes has produced out of the draft, I mean, nothing can make you more excited than that.
Yeah, you touched on it right there. About a little bit a year ahead of schedule, you got to take advantage of that if you're the front office and the team alike. Take advantage of the forecast that you've been given. And a lot of money, like you said, a lot of money to spend in salary cap. I want to ask you this, Andrew, about the draft. Do we have confirmation that you will be in attendance for at least night one?
That is the plans as of right now. So we'll see what happens. I think we're going to vagabond it for the evening. A little here or there. Looks like events are scattered. So we will see what comes of it. Try to get some recordings to send in to you.
Okay. Love to hear that from the correspondent himself. Can hit up the casinos while you're there.
We'll see what treasures we do plunder throughout the entirety of the evening.
Well, I wish you luck, sir, and hopefully they don't take all your money. I almost sent you this. They've unveiled the map, or kind of like it's not a floor plan, but a blueprint of what the layout's going to be for the stage and all the various activities that will be surrounding the draft. Have you been able to take a look at that and plan where you're going to be?
Yeah, I've looked at it. No real plans, though. I think, like I said, we're just going to walk around. Plan is to just be around there by the time the Lions pick. Obviously, it's going to be a nut house around there, but, grab a drink here, grab a drink there, peruse the city, maybe get the 40 time with a couple sodies in you and see what happens.
You'll have so much time, too, because they pick so late, unless they sneak attack and move up, which I feel like is unlikely, but God, what, 29? Well, how long into the draft is that going to be? 2 hours plus?
At least, yeah. 10 minutes a pick?
The issue is with old gambling Brad Holmes, he's liable to make very many a lot of moves, move up in that, or heck, I mean, he may just get out of the first round himself.
I was going to say the issue is how hollow is your leg? You going to be able to sustain until they make their pick?
No, I'm sure the porta potty situation is going to be rough, and that's usually why we don't show up for these situations.
Well, when in Rome, though, you gotta take advantage of this opportunity if it's in Detroit, right? You never know when they'll have it hosted there in Detroit ever again, and hopefully by April, you know, you'll have some good weather there. I heard it snowed there last night, so that's tough.
What are we? How far are we into this like new season purgatory where Ben found the time to talk about Texas weather?
If the odds were within the first 6 minutes, congratulations to you all.
Who had the under? Yep.
I can guess what the other prop bet would be for me to mention. I have a feeling you know it as well.
Probably going to be a mute monster.
There's a lot of things I think we probably should have done that. That's poor on us to not make a Lion's Share bingo card for the shareholders.
Oh God, yeah, a bingo card would have, yeah, could have branded it, could have really kicked off this marketing campaign that we have going for season three that hasn't quite gotten off the ground. But you know, we digress into what's gone on since
we
last.
Go ahead and mark your cards.
Save it for the end of the show, and we'll tally those up. Yeah, so we've had a few things happen in terms of the Lions. We haven't had a lot yet. Anticipate that to change this week. A lot's going to happen. Added a couple players, one of them from the CFL, Matthew Betts. Looks like a stud linebacker from the CFL in terms of CFL stud standards. Seems like a good athletic player, Dan Campbell guy. Badger is coming back for the next season, and Jalen Reeves Maven, as well as Emmanuel Mosley. So that's four guys, and that list will grow here over the next couple weeks. But a couple of them off the roster, obviously Teddy Bridgewater retiring, Okwara Julian going to Philadelphia, David Blau off the roster, Tracy Walker gone but not on a team yet, Zach Ertz gone, went to the Commanders, although Zach Ertz really never started here either, so that's just going to be a weird wrinkle. That's going to be one of those trivia questions down the road, don't you think? 10-15 years down the road, they're going to say Zach Ertz played for this team. Who was it? Because no one's going to remember his stint on the Lions. He never even suited up, but technically was on the roster. Other two off the roster, Jerry Jacobs and Chase Lucas. So bye-bye, Jerry Jacobs. We hate to see you go, but nothing really shocking there. Tracy Walker, maybe the most shocking on that list. I don't know if you guys have any feelings towards the list. It's pretty meh. Nothing that really jumps out on either side yet, but that will change.
I think Chase Lucas kind of needed to go. I mean, I don't know if I was alone. I think we've talked about that briefly, but one of those guys that didn't really make a ton of plays, but every time he got in on a tackle, loved to talk to the other team. Jerry Jacobs, we don't have to talk about. Tracy Walker, I would agree, was the biggest like kind of shocker. But I mean, I texted you guys the other day. It's a shame that our safety room is so stacked, because the free agency market for safeties is hot right now. So you can, if you're a team, you might get to buy low this year.
Yeah, there was no real surprises, and yes, the free agency market for safety is astronomical this year. But I mean, what's even better to see is that nobody's leaving on a sour note. It's not like the organization has upset anybody on the way out. Everybody's gotten a fair shot at it, and that it seems like standards were communicated, not met. See you later, which is a great sign from a good organization.
Yeah, we're not used to that, are we? Not at all. What do you guys think about Emmanuel Mosley coming back? I know we talked about that, I think, in the last episode about if we wanted him back or not. Are you surprised that they brought him back, even with the ACLs?
Do you have the contract, Ben?
You know, bad on me for not. I know at the time of the signing when I texted you guys about it, it was not released yet. I'm sure at this point
it
maybe
feels
it is.
Low
but
risk. It's not going to be the same contract amount that it was before. I mean, he's kind of proven to be injury prone at this point. So Yeah, I like it. Bring him back. Give him a chance. So they're not going to get worse at cornerback. That's for sure.
Oh God, yeah. Especially with Jerry Jacobs leaving that room. So I've got the numbers here for Emmanuel. It's pretty low, right? So his base salary 1.1, prorated bonus 1, cap number, dead cap 1 million, and then a cap number of 2.1 million. It's pretty
Cake.
cheap. I it's a 1 year 2.1.
I wasn't sure if that was
SI.com.
1 or 2 years.
It's a 1 year. Another 1 year deal for him. If we put that in comparison to what it was when he came from the 49ers, it was a 1 year $6 million deal. So you've shaved quite a bit off of that. Shitty situation for him to have it be due to injury, but you got to root for the guy. And yeah, I think I'm in favor of bringing him back for that price for sure. I mean, like Mitch said, you're not going to make that safe cornerback room any worse. That's for sure. What was that, Andrew?
Just putting another chip on his shoulder, dude.
Oh, I thought you were putting your seatbelt on.
Shink.
Ah.
So, in terms of free agency in the NFL, not a lot has happened, of course, yet because the window has not opened. But we do have a few things. The biggest news of the week is that Chris Jones will be back in a Chiefs uniform. He gets a 5 year, $95 million contract, the highest paid D tackle ever. No shocker there, deservingly so. But now people are starting to put things together and say that's going to increase the likelihood that the Chiefs are going to have to dump Snead, Legarius Snead, and not bring him back in favor of paying Chris Jones. So want to get you guys' thoughts on that. Do we think Legarius Snead will become the Lions' cornerback one?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that the Lions are going to go out in the free agency market and get anybody prime time flashy. They're going to do what they did with Emmanuel Mosley. They're going to get guys like that, guys that are coming off an injury, that are looking for a rebound year, that they can sign for short stints. They're really close to a championship team, a Super Bowl team. They've proven that with their last season. And they can go out there and they can get kind of check mark pieces just to fill in those gaps on the roster and build depth. I think what they're going to do with all that free agency money is mainly just spend it in-house, re-sign everybody, get them locked up long term. But as far as a flashy guy, no. I think they're going to get two or three guys, but nobody flashy.
Yeah, I kind of disagree, and maybe this is just me hoping. We've talked about this a lot. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go spend money? They got to spend money somewhere this offseason. Obviously, we're going to get a Sun God contract. We're probably going to get a Goff contract, and there's some others that are looming. Penei Sewell's probably going to be the highest paid tackle in the league at some point. I think they're going to go get someone. I would love to go see Stephon Gilmore. Get the proven vet that's still got some gas in the tank. Then you draft someone to learn behind him. I think they're going to try and go find somebody. I don't think they're going to be able to get anyone on these 1 year prove it deals, but let's just say they're smart and they let CeeDee Deuce go. That frees up even more money that they can go get somebody. So I think they will sign a veteran cornerback and maybe draft some depth. Maybe not first round but second round and beyond. That's my hope, anyways.
That's your hope.
Snead, no. To answer your question that I'd realize I didn't answer, I don't think Snead, because Snead's going to get top money.
So when you say that, are you saying you don't think they will, or you don't want them to?
I'm saying I don't think they'll get Snead. I don't think they'll get like I don't think Jalen Johnson signed, didn't he? Was that today or
Yeah,
yesterday?
I think they've, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think they'll get like Snead. Obviously, they were in play for Johnson. Maybe Fuller, but even that, I think if they'll probably try to creep outside of the top three and try to find a little bit of value. But scared money don't make no money. You got to spend it somewhere. And I think getting a savvy cornerback to draft someone and tutor a young cornerback and tutor Brian Branch, who's proven is would be very beneficial for them.
What do you think
Snead,
about
no.
Okay, Snead. No. Okay, so what do you think about Newsom, the cornerback from the Browns, only 23 years old? I think if in my opinion, I think they're gonna look very closely at Snead, gonna weigh the options with Snead, and I think they're gonna ultimately land on Newsom from the Browns. I think for some reason in my head, I feel like that's more of a fit. Obviously, it'll be cheaper than Snead. And a guy that's young, 23, plenty of years ahead of him. And I feel like that's a better fit, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I think we're all agreed that they're going to address it. I just think, Ben, it sounds like me and you are more so like they're willing to spend a little bit of money. Angie, you think they're going to go value shopping?
Oh, and I think Andrew's right. Given their track record, this isn't something they typically would do. However, I think it was so glaring last year, and I'm sure you've seen the reports too, that they are very heavily looking at a CB1, and as they should. So I think this will be the one time that they do go out and spend more money than they're probably comfortable with, and not a guy that they're going to draft, and a bigger splash than they made in last year free agency. I mean, last year, you know, they got CJ and Cam Sutton. They got some mid-level guys, and CJ was probably the biggest signing. David Montgomery too, but on the defensive side of the ball, at least, I think we'll see them make one substantial move here at cornerback one, and then the rest will kind of be draft, and then maybe they go get a D tackle, which, you know, sneaking ahead here, looking ahead, we'll talk about Christian Wilkins, the D tackle from Miami, in just a minute. But to wrap up the cornerback talk,
too, that the cap went up. Like, there's no way Brad and Dan didn't have plans as soon as, like, probably entering the season. Like, all right, here's how we can build. Here's where we'll be at next year. The cap went up, so maybe that's just a little, you know, gravy money, and it's a little extra that they're willing to go spend. I mean, I think for the listeners, the theme that you're going to hear from all of us is going to be defense this offseason.
It's got to be. It just has to be. It didn't take an expert to know that last season that was the glaring issue, and will be until they address it.
Well, I think their cornerback market is also going to heavily depend on if they go out and get a big time name on the D tackle side of things and free agency as well. They talk about which one of the Bosas is with the Chargers. Is it Joey? They're talking about letting go of the Bosa and Khalil Mack. Both of them walk in there. I mean, I think Bosa's the better and younger of the two. So, I mean, it'd be nice to have him if you want to spend your money there, and then you can go get two cornerbacks in the draft or vice versa. You know, flip flop that, you know. So it's really going to depend on if they get a D tackle, that'll influence the cornerback market.
Well, in previous episodes, Mitch, you had mentioned Khalil Mack, and I think I've come around a little bit. Maybe I was a little too harsh on your take there to bring in Khalil Mack.
Khalil, but in your life?
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to come around.
I just think for some reason in my mind, and I don't know why, even on the Stephon Gilmore thing, they're just so young and they have such young talent. Like that PFF top 100, their top 101, I don't know if you guys caught that. They have so much young talent. What are we doing, like 808s and heartbreaks?
Was it eight guys on that list?
Was it eight or six? It was a lot. It was a lot. It was young guys. I can look, but if for some reason in my mind, I just like keep thinking like Stephon Gilmore to tutor the young guys, whether it's in the draft or Brian Branch, Khalil Mack, cause he's still good. And then all of a sudden you take Aiden, you take Hutch from, you know, a top five edge defender in the league, unarguably to like top two, like you bring in these proven talents that can tutor the young guys. I don't know. It's in my head for some reason.
Gilmore wasn't one that was really on my radar, but like the more you say it, and with it's his younger brother, I believe, that is already in the building as well. Like, how much money do you think he commands a year? Like, if like realistically, like what would be the contract numbers you think that would be respected from him?
I'm reading right around 8 or 9 million a year, somewhere in there. And he's probably a guy that you can get for a 1 to 2 year deal. And I would assume one of the guys, like just similar to Khalil Mack, I would guess, like these, all these like superstars that are on the tail end of their career want to go compete. Well, that's Detroit now. Like, So maybe they get these guys at a little bit of a discount because they want to compete for a championship, because they want to play for Dan, they want to play for Brad. I don't know. It's maybe a little pie in the sky, but Ben, I don't know if that's what you were thinking, but I'm just envisioning like Khalil Mack and Hutch coming off the edge and the long-term effects of Hutch being teammates with Khalil Mack and all those other guys in the locker room too.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense for all the reasons that you bring up. It's a young team. They do lack in that area of veteran leadership. I mean, we love the fact that they're so young. It means a bright future. However, just they don't seem to get guys unless they're, you know, 36-year-old, 37-year-old Bruce Irvins. They don't get like the mid-30s guys like Khalil Mack. I think it's 34 or something like that, right? So you've got a lot of opportunity there with maybe a couple years out of Khalil Mack still at his top level of game, right? Eight guys on the 101. No,
eight
I did not catch
on
that
the
list.
101. You did?
Yeah, I think no, and I think like about the age question. I think Glasgow at 31 or 32 is one of like your oldest. I think he's like the oldest starter. So,
so you want me to read you this list?
Yeah,
it's crazy how young everyone is. So you got Andrew.
I was just gonna say more to your point on like the veteran part and the like training of it all, like more to the Gilmore side of things with having his little brother on the team, like he's instinctively gonna want to start teaching guys, and the more he teaches his brother, the more he just instinctively helps out the other guys around him. So like more to that, Mitchell. Like I'm starting to fall in love with that idea.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So we'll start at cornerback because that's the highest. BB, number 84 on the PFF top 101. You got Goff, 83. Laporta, 79. McNeil, 78. Ragnow, 25. Hutch, 17. Sun God, 15. Penne, number 10 ranked player in the league. It's unreal. They're all so young. Who's the oldest guy on there?
Goff.
Ragnow?
Oh, well, yeah, I think Goff and Ragnar are pretty close,
age.
Right?
Does, so 30. So the yeah. oldest guys on there are 30, which obviously is old in the NFL, but everybody else drafted them in the last 3 years, McNeil, Laporta, BB, Hutch, Sun God, Sewell, it's absurd.
And how many of those guys were like all drafted, right? All Brad Holmes guys.
Like, that's the bigger thing.
It's crazy. That's why I don't think they're really going to go like hard in the free agency market. I think they're saving all that money. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a conversation with guys as they're drafting them. Look at this pile of free agency money we have. Like, we're set to give you contracts. We want you to go and earn this money. Like, it's almost a talking piece.
And if you want to expand it, Andrew, to your point, Ragnow's the only guy on that list who's not technically a Holmes product, because Holmes was part of the Rams staff when they went and got Goff.
Ooh, that's a nice little wrinkle. It's true.
Just dropped like a shot bomb on you.
A lot of fingerprints from Brad on all of those guys. Even ones that are probably aren't even on the Lions roster. I'm sure he's got some Rams guys in there as well, like you said. So what do we think about Christian Wilkins? Andrew, you and I talked a little bit this right before we hopped on here. Break down his stats here for you a little bit. He's a fifth year guy, played all his seasons with Miami, the Dolphins. Obviously, last year was his biggest year by far. Started out in the league as a D-end, has transitioned the last 2 years to a D-tackle role. So last season with the Dolphins, he had 65 combined tackles. 10 of those were TFLs. He had 9 sacks last year, and 23 QB hits last year. So this is a guy that's been floated around as potentially landing there in Detroit. So what do we think about them addressing D-tackle, or do you think that's more in the draft?
Well, more to your point on what's his last name? Christian, what was it?
Wilkins.
Wilkins? I wasn't sure if it was Wilkes or Wilkins. But more to your point, everything I hear about this guy, it's like the immeasurables with him. Everything they say screams Detroit Lion and dad Dan Campbell type of guy. With almost.
It fits, right? Hey, if the shoe
fits. It does kind of fit. Wow. But I mean, it all screams Detroit Lion from what you're hearing. So, I mean, you hear what Dan Campbell or Dad Campbell says about old Kamish there on the line. He's the gel, he's the motor, he's what everything, he's what makes everything go for Hutchinson. If they can get that guy at a cheaper rate, you know, like a better Kaminsky essentially, that's all the best. Ben, do you know what kind of dollars, like this is where I struggle, what kind of dollars these guys kind of command and what that contract may look like? Any kind of thoughts, or have you heard any kind of word on that?
Let me look at Spotrac.
The long time line really quick, since you know, you kind of just tried to shoo him away. You want to say any words?
Yeah, apologies on that one. We know he's listening. Apologies. Have fun out west.
So that's a nice little transition to what we think Christian Wilkins is going to get paid here. He's 28 years old. He's a 4-year guy out of Clemson. Currently commanding about 10 to 15 million a year, it looks like. I forgot. Oh, wait, hold on. Here's the market value tab. That's what I was looking for. It's probably $15 to $20 million a year.
I was going to say 10 seems crazy cheap.
It's so hard with the contracts now. Like, if you look at Chris Jones' contract, the biggest D tackle one ever, obviously now, at 5 years, $95 million. I mean, that's almost $20 million a year, right? So I feel like Christian Wilkins isn't on that level, but I guess maybe he will get that, you know, 15 to 16, maybe 17.
Well, that's why I also feel like they're going to try it. Pick 29 or maybe even sneak up a little higher. I think that's why they go D tackle there and they once again try to build it to the draft. And hey, in 3-4 years when you're due, we're going to have some more money set aside for you. We're going to have this stockpiled back up, and we're going to, once again, Brad Holmes said it when he came to Detroit. I'm going to build it through the draft. That's how I've always known how to do it. That's how I want to do it. It's how I feel comfortable doing it. I'm going to build through the draft, and they've done it. And I mean, my God, we've talked on all the guys that have hit. So, and Brad, we trust.
And I think I'm contradicting myself when I say this, because based on some conversations a few weeks ago, because I know I said you can get some talented cornerbacks now, but I agree. I think if you're going to draft high, draft a big body, big booty Judy to stick right there with Aleem McNeil down low. And then you have the money to, I think, pay the guys, pay your core guys, and go get your free agent cornerback and some help off the edge if you want to.
That and offensive linemen, because, I mean, that's deteriorating quickly.
Yes.
Depth is exactly. And that's why at $10 million for Stephon, I love it even more. Glad you brought that into my life.
$10 million for Stephon? Is that the going rate? Did I miss that?
There's one article I saw. It could be much, much higher. If you're the Cowboys, it wouldn't surprise me if they just hand him a whole bag.
I was
Not
just
with
reading.
Dak resetting the market every year.
Right. I was just reading about Stephon Gilmore, and it sounds like the Cowboys want him. Not they don't want him gone, but they're gonna let him walk, it sounds like. But who knows? I'm trying to look up his market value. Let's see. God, I didn't realize he was 33 years old. Yeah, $11 million a year is what they're targeting his market value at. So, oh no, not the mute monster.
Ooh.
Bingo card strikes again, but. Mitch, Ben and I kind of talked about it before recording. I don't think you were on, but going after Sandra still at that round two.
Love it.
I mean, he's right there. I mean, he seems like he's bred for the NFL.
He seems like
a perfect pick.
He's like the new Jabril Peppers. There's like the versatile guy you can put all over the defense. So then all of a sudden you've got, I mean, depending on what they do, you could have two guys who are really versatile, just kind of playing the free safety role with Sandersill and BB. I love that.
So we'll talk more about the draft here when we get to the college football segment, and then we'll talk way deeper into it in April in the next couple episodes. But back to free agency, other moves other teams have made. Obviously, Mike Evans is going to be back in Tampa Bay, so there's a big name off the market. Kirk Cousins, we don't know what he's going to do, but the rumor is maybe Atlanta. And Mitch, you might have some light to shed on that. But Russell Wilson meeting with the Pittsburgh Steelers, nothing official there, but that seems like a potential landing zone for him. Khalil Mack, maybe the Detroit Lions. And a new name that just popped up, Nick Folk, one of the best kickers in the league. Wanted to get your guys' opinion on that. Do you have enough faith in the Money Badger to be the kicker for this team long term, or do you think they go out and get somebody?
Please go get somebody. If there's a proven, you want to talk about like positions that are hard to find in the draft and hard to find in college, it's kicker. Like, I would love for them to get Nick Folk. All of a sudden, you've got a guy that's like 50 yards, cool. Why don't you march him out there? You feel a lot better about it. We're not in these tweener situations all the time trying to defend DC for his, you know, for his decisions to go for it on fourth down or to not go for it. I would love for them to get a more consistent kicker. I didn't like that they re-signed the Money Badger.
I mean, I like that he was like had the feel of the team and he was just kind of a natural fit and there was nothing really to do. He seemed like the easy decision, which you don't normally hear from a Brad Holmes regime. They did the easy pick. But Folk's been, I think he's been kicking outside, and right? Tennessee outside?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's nice not to be a kicker snob or not or anything. It's nice to have a guy going from outdoors to indoors rather than coming from an indoor facility, moving to an outdoor field. Seems like that's the tougher leap. So that wouldn't be too bad.
He is 39 years old, and we know that kickers have quite a shelf life, but still getting up there for sure. But would be not a big contract, obviously, as a kicker. I mean, probably $1 or $2 million for old Nick Folk wouldn't be per year, that is.
Well, Detroit, known for great kickers.
I know. Bring back Jason Hansen. Matt Prater. Matt Prater's got to be getting up there, too.
Boy, every time they show Jason Hansen, though, whew, he just looks so old now.
Well, he's been bald since, what, 25?
For a very long time.
You kids are being mean.
Trades. We had some trades too in the NFL. Jerry Jeudy is going to the Browns for a 5th and 6th round pick. Congratulations to the Browns. Mac yeah. Jones, the one today.
Feels like the Browns won that, right?
It's so hard. How do you evaluate what Jerry Jeudy has done, though?
Good point. I don't know how you evaluate anything from the Broncos this season.
Or ever. I mean, ever since Peyton left, the sheriff left. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, a 5th and 6th round, I feel like, I don't know. The fact that the Broncos didn't get rid of him last season, and when they probably could have got like, I don't know, a 2nd round pick for him. That's the bigger issue. I think if you're the Broncos, it's like,
I think Sean Payton just went to ownership and just said, like, you just got to buckle up. The next 2 years are going to suck. I mean, I don't think they're going to be terrible. Someone when I'm older is going to have to explain the Russell Wilson situation to me, because I don't care how much you hate a guy. Like, you made it so well known that you didn't want him that now you're just taking like an $85 million cap hit. That's just stupid. I mean, that's just terrible management.
Ben, can we get the market value on Patrick Surtain, please? Because if they're gonna have a fire sale in Denver, we might want to cash in. And I know he's gonna be worth a lot, but I kind of want to hear numbers.
Am I mistaken? Isn't Surtain like not on the market?
I don't know, man. I feel like in the NFL, you can make anybody on the market, even if they're not. And if they're going to be dumping everybody, they got Russ already walking out.
Right. Just because there's a goalie doesn't mean you can't score type of situation. I mean, his market value is at, I don't know. It's not loading for me.
Sorry, Ben, I cut you off. And this is what I've been looking forward to the most, talking about the fall of Mighty Mac Jones. And Ben, you can have your day in the sun, because obviously your prediction's probably trending in the right direction here. But what a weenie. I love that I feel like Mac Jones tried to play the blame game and just like point the finger. I feel like I knew his career was over when he sprained his ankle and played it as though he got shot in the leg. Like, it's got to be so humbling to get drafted, what, 9 picks behind Trevor Lawrence, and now you're going to back him up and you got traded for a 6th-round pick? Ouch.
Well, not only that, he's got that Duke kid type of feel that he's kind of tosses in the cheap shot every so often.
I like that. Know.
He'd call him Filipkowski. Yeah, no kidding. But I think he's like from Jacksonville or from that part of Florida. So I think there's some tie-ins there. So I don't know. Maybe he's excited about that. But yeah, for those who are wondering, my prediction in 2021, I have the notes app timestamp from 2021. I said Mac Jones would be in the NFL or college football booth doing color commentary by 2028. So I think that I might even move that forecast up to 2027 at this point. I think before he turns 30, he's definitely going to be out of the NFL and probably on the SEC on ESPN or wherever SEC is going to live these days.
I don't know what his Jacksonville contract is, but it'd be so nice to just be like the next Chase Daniel. Just do the backup role. I don't know what's the going rate for a backup quarterback? $5 million a year, something like that. Like
probably.
Go bounce around, do that for 5 to 7 years if you can. Yeah, then go to the booth.
It just seems like a booth guy ever since I saw him on draft night.
He's just like Greg McElroy.
Exactly. Exactly where
just
my
like
head.
Him. Carbon yeah. copy.
Same school. Different shit.
20 million a year.
Yes, 20 million for old Sertan PS2. Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak on what that is. I mean, he's not a free agent, so it'd have to be a trade. But I don't know.
That's probably your pick number 29 in the 2/3.
Is that what that equates to?
I mean, that's what I would equate it to.
That seems a little heavy, but maybe.
Well, I mean, I don't think so. You get instead of a first and second, you get 3 picks in the top 100 for one guy with your team that's that close.
Well, the rumor, it's all hearsay, but the rumor of the street is that Snead would require to get Snead to acquire Snead from the Chiefs, you'd need a 2nd-round pick. So you're telling me you'd rather have PS2 for the first and the 2/3 than Snead for the second?
No, I definitely wouldn't do it. I'm just saying, I just assume that's what it would be.
Plus, you got to pay PS2 basically the same that you're probably going to have to pay Snead.
Yeah. Hey, okay. Well, things to contemplate. Things to contemplate.
Yeah. I mean, I think Sertan's younger. He's for sure younger. Sertan's only 23 for another 30 days, and then he's going to turn 24. But yeah. In that same realm of the cornerbacks, we had some news in that room for the Lions. Dre Bly, the old ex-Lion who was taking over the coaching duties of the DBs, he is gone. That was kind of, I think, expected. And Deshae Townsend, he is your new cornerbacks coach or the DB coach for the Lions. So I'm excited to see what he brings because I think that, I mean, you can give Dre Bly the benefit of the doubt that he just didn't have the guys. You know, Cam Sutton was your CB1 and Mosley goes down early and you're working with a revolving door there at cornerback. So you can make some excuses there for him. But I think that was a needed move for them to move on. And this, I'm pretty excited to see what Deshae Townsend brings to the locker room and that defensive room.
Yeah, another former player too. So it just adds to the years. And I think he was like, I don't know how many teams he played for. Was he a journeyman?
I don't know. I looked it up at the time of him getting the job, which was at this point, I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, not too long after we recorded last. So it's been a bit. I know he was a Steeler at one point, and we love the Steelers. So I think he spent a good portion of his career with the Steelers. I think he was with the Jags for a little bit. I think he's been on the Bears coaching staff, right? That's where they got him
just
from.
The Steelers and the Colts, finished it out with the Colts for 1 year and then retired. So pretty much spent his whole career with the Steelers and then has bounced around as a coach for through quite some spots.
So not a journeyman player, but a journeyman coach.
That is correct.
There you go. Contract wise, we don't have anything yet, but Jared, aka they're calling him Vanilla Vic. Love that nickname for him. Talking about, you know, probably in that $40 to $45 million range. St. Brown probably going to get about what Mike Evans got, which was like $27 million a year or something like that. And so we'll probably see St. Brown signing that dotted line for, you know, in that range, $25 to $28 million, which just seems so lofty high, but obviously much needed. You got to lock him up. Saved this team so many times last year and will continue to do so. Penei Sewell, as Mitch alluded to, probably going to get paid a lot of money too. So we'll have a lot of money dishing out from accounts payable or whatever that department is called. And Jerry Jacobs gone, as we said. Chauncey Gardner Johnson, CD Deuce, not sure on him and all the others. But yeah, and then the other news we have before we go into the draft talk in college football, which is the jerseys. Now, this is still hearsay, rumors, but it sounds like if the jersey reveal is going to happen, it's going to be mid-April, somewhere surrounding the draft, obviously, because the draft is in Detroit. So I think that's if you're looking for jerseys, that's going to be your target date.
Breaking news. Baker Mayfield re-signs with the Buccaneers. 3 years, $100 million.
Boom. Congratulations to the Baker. To the Baconeers, as Andrew would like to call them. What was that contract again, did you say?
3 years, $100 million.
Okay, so right there at $33
million. $33 a year.
Good for Baker.
I was just perusing some contracts. I feel like they can get Goff in for $45 a year. It sucks because it's so inflationary every year. Where I get tripped up is you've got Josh Allen at $43 million a year. I think we can all agree, except for maybe Andrew, because who knows where he lands on Justin Herbert and Josh Allen. But I think we can all agree that Goff probably shouldn't earn more than Josh Allen, but he probably will because it's inflationary. He won't get any less than $45 a year because the next step down is a tie between Dak Prescott and I can't even think of his name, Daniel Jones, 4 years, 40, 4 years, $160 million. So I'm thinking they can get Goff in for $45 million a year. His cap hit next year is 31 and some change. So I think if they can continue to get Goff at a $14 million cap hit per year, I take that.
Yeah, structurally, you know they're going to be working their magic there to make that contract as team-friendly as they can, and I think Goff will work with them on that. That's my hope, at least, is that Goff is going to take everything into consideration, right, and hopefully it's not a two team unfriendly deal.
They should just make it incentive laden for him. Like give him a good guarantee and then just like you make the playoffs, $3 million bonus. You win a playoff game, $6 million. Like just do that. Who cares?
Andrew, thoughts?
I mean, it's just, get him to sign this year. You can't kick this can down any further.
It's going to be worse.
It's just going to be worse. It's like, that's the whole point. Like when Lamar was holding out, like that, like everybody almost doesn't want to sign until everybody else that year has signed. You want to be the last quarterback to sign every single year.
People forget Andrew wanted Lamar.
Do people forget that though?
I think they will get Goff and Sun God extended. And I think it'll give him a good, like, hey, here's where we are going. Sewell's going to get paid so much money.
35 to nothing.
And Sewell, Sewell's probably getting like, what, 23 to 25 a year?
Yeah.
He's going to get paid.
He is going to get paid. But, like, I think they're going to load right back up with a lineman. Like, if they don't go, they're going to get a late lineman this year. And if they make another push, I think they're going lineman round one next year. I'm already thinking that next draft.
Well, the mocks that I've been looking at, I saw the most recent mock that I saw had him taking a tackle there at 29. So it wouldn't shock me.
Let's see what this free agency brings, man. It's just I'm ready for the presents to start dropping.
It's going to be tonight. I think the window opens at midnight. I don't, or maybe it's noon tomorrow. And typically in NFL fashion, it all happens day one. The big stuff all kind of happens immediately. And then from there, it's kind of slow, but it is a fun time because this is when the NFL just takes over the world and social media is full of all these moves, and Adam Schefter is not going to get any sleep this week. That's kind of how it's going to go.
Oh yeah. And I did forget as well with, Jason Kelsey and is it Lane Johnson, the other one? Both retiring there.
Yeah.
That just makes the...
I know you're talking offense, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what I meant. That just makes the offensive line market that much more valuable this offseason.
Ooh, I like the way you enunciated there.
Valuable. What do you guys think? Should we call up the college football expert and bring him in here? See what he's got to say.
Did we make it this far already?
I suppose. Did we miss anything?
There's just so many. I assume you're going to edit this part out.
No. We don't edit anymore.
Okay. You're such a lazy shit. yeah, there's just so many topics left. I thought, yeah, I guess I didn't read ahead.
Yeah, didn't do your homework.
First time for everything.
Drew, do we have a copy from you there back in Michigan? He's muted.
Copy. Sorry. Oh. I went to respond and I almost hung up.
Well, I saw you bouncing. I saw you bouncing around the lobby there. I went to accept your invitation or invite you, and then it went away. So here we are.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's a new platform for us. This is round one, but it feels pretty good so far. And we are live, too, by the way.
Good.
We are live, so anything you say can and will be used against you.
So essentially, Ben went and found a new recording platform so he could control whether or not people could join, because now we have to wait to get it accepted, and he doesn't have to edit anything anymore.
Well, you said Ben, but I think you meant Tommy.
I meant Tommy.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, no, this is pretty cool. Like we can insert things now, and he doesn't have to do them afterwards. So.
Oh, damn.
Uh-huh. I know. We'll see how this goes. This is a trial run. So we went through a couple things, but we've got a lot to talk about with you as well. So
okay.
How you been, and how you transitioning now without football in your life?
Oh, I'm in a dark place when it comes to that, especially as being a Michigan fan. And, well, I think Michigan basketball, actually, they might be playing right now as we speak. But
who cares?
Stop. Yeah, I've checked out on that on basketball for a while now.
It's bad.
I'll lock in a little bit once March Madness starts, but no, it's been, like I said, it's been a dark place, but luckily with Michigan winning the Natty, it's been the best time to happen, I guess, if ever.
Did you guys see, yes, Michigan did play today. I think they were playing, obviously,
Nebraska.
Big Ten. Nebraska, yeah, it was a red team. I knew it wasn't Wisconsin, so they were playing Purdue. But I saw it's senior night there in Chrysler Arena, and wow, 15 minutes before tip-off, there was, I don't know how many that place holds, but it was at probably 5 or 10% capacity. There was nobody in the stands.
No, that probably looked like a Beale City basketball game with how many people were in there. Nice. I mean, the last couple of games, and like I said, I haven't been watching, but I see the tweets and stuff on social media, and it's basically a home game for anyone that's coming into their place.
That's sad.
Juwan's gone, yep. Right, Drew?
Not looking likely. He's probably getting one more year.
Wow.
Yep. I don't know. I don't think Ward wants to pull the trigger yet, which I don't know. Ward might be having to go too if that's the case.
Jeez.
That's crazy.
In shambles. Well, it's great to have you back. Appreciate you being here.
Yeah, no problem.
What do you think about this draft? I mean, I don't know how much. I know you're the college football expert. I don't know if you're the draft expert, but I know Mitch might have some questions for you, and he's been asking for this for a while. But I've got a couple for you as well.
Okay.
So with the Michigan Wolverines that are coming out of the draft here, would you foresee Mikey Sainristil as a Detroit Lion?
I know a lot of people hope that happens. I feel like he's a great fit when it comes to culture wise. I would be happy with the pick, being obviously a Michigan fan and a Lions fan. Whether they pull that trigger, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I think once he gets in a room with Dan Campbell, I think that'll that'll progress that relationship pretty quickly.
Where do you think he's going to go, Drew?
I mean, he's probably late second, I don't know, early second in that round. I've heard people saying he could sneak into the first, but he's got the talent, but he doesn't have the measurables. He scored pretty well at the combine. I think his raw score was fairly high. But yeah, I just think being as small as he is, being one of those slot corners, I think he'll probably be late second.
So I compared him earlier to like the next Jabril Peppers, kind of like the field general free safety type where, you know, he can lay the wood, but yeah, just the size is a little bit of a concern. Mm-hmm. That's who he reminds me of. Obviously Jabril at Michigan was like on another level of talent.
Yep.
But that's kind of the feel I get from his gameplay and how he's transitioned to the NFL.
Yeah, I can see that. I think, I mean, obviously I'm just projecting, but I feel like he's going to even have a better career than what Jabril has had so far in the NFL. But yeah, he's, like I said, he's a jack of all trades. Worst case scenario, if you draft him and his first year, he's going to be a great special teams player. But like I said, I do not see him not performing with whoever picks him.
What do you guys think? This is kind of for everybody, not just the college football expert here. We touched on this a little bit earlier in the show as far as what we think the Lions do there at 29, if they move up or just stay there at 29. Obviously, the draft visits are coming out now. They've met with a couple. Quantez Stiggers, that's from the CFL. That's a CFL product. Darius Robinson, they've met with Kool-Aid McKinstry. I've seen a couple mocks where Kool-Aid McKinstry does make it down there to the Lions at 29. So what would your feelings be towards getting a guy like Kool-Aid McKinstry if they don't go cornerback in the free agency, or if they do, do you think they still target cornerback there with the first pick, number 29?
I mean, yeah, I'm not sure what their draft needs are. But I mean, I've been seeing a lot of the mocks I've been seeing, you know, D line, I've seen interior offensive line, I've seen corners. So I really hope they either take a corner or someone on the D line. But you guys might have more insight on that than me.
I would say name wise, he fits right in. If we're seeing him, we better be seeing Joey Bosa on our team as well.
Yeah, I guess I agree with Andrew.
I guess I don't get the Joey Bosa tie-in with the Kool-Aid.
I mean, if we're gonna go top tier cornerback sellout in the first round, then we need that interior rush. That's going to be the proven one. We don't want a flyer in the second round.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
I've been seeing a lot of Chop Robinson from Penn State. He scored very well at the combine.
He's going to be a stud.
Yeah, there's concerns with his production, but I mean, heck, when I was watching him play Michigan, it was there's a reason Michigan ran the ball 38 times or what, 32 times in a row in the second half, because they couldn't block him. So.
Drew, that's what I was going to ask you. You know, I'm sure you've seen, you know, college football wise, the most is going to be Michigan.
Yeah.
So was there any standout athlete, you know, that the Wolverines went up against that you thought somebody needs to draft this guy, or, you know, just general thoughts?
I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously you have your obvious guys like Chop Robinson, Marvin Harrison, random people. Who would I say? I don't know. I can't really think of anyone. I mean, Cooper DeJean, but Michigan didn't play them. But like I said, he's going to be a stud. I don't think he tested at the combine. I think he had some, I think, I don't know if it was a lower extremity injury lingering from the season. But yeah, I can't think of any outside of my head right now.
Have you guys heard much about Quinion Mitchell from Toledo, the cornerback who likely will be a first-rounder potential?
Yeah, he looked like a stud. Yep. There was talks about Michigan going after their DB coach when they were hiring people.
It's so hard to evaluate guys from the MAC too, because you can say quality of play, right? Those mid-majors, you never know for sure, but this guy looks like a standout.
I feel like Sauce Gardner kind of opened that door because he was getting a lot of that same heat at Cincy. And I mean, once you go to, like, that's what the combine's made for. Like, don't get me wrong, I think Caleb Williams made an absolute ass of himself. Like, why even go? I hate when guys do that. Like, I know I'm going to be a top 10 pick. Don't talk to me. Or to number one pick. Whatever. I just hate that. But I do think like that's where these guys set themselves apart. It's not for the top guys. They know where they're going to land. You know, to throw it back to Michigan and switch up on you, Ben. Like, I think Blake Corum's bench press probably woke some teams up. Like, oh shit! Like the dude is like Maurice Jones-Drew muscle hamster type. I think because obviously I think you can see the way he reads holes and his off tackle abilities is incredible, but when the dude is benching as much as one of the top offensive line prospects, gotta wake some GM's minds or wake some GMs up a little bit.
I think it was him and Joe Alt, which obviously first round draft pick from Notre Dame. I think they both did 27 or 28 in the bench press.
Yeah, and to touch on Mitchell to like translate to the not easy Q Whoa. Mitchell to translate to the next level. What I heard about him was that at the senior day in those senior practices, he went out and he studied all the top wide receivers and he learned all their tendencies. Like, it's not something you normally do for a senior day thing. It's just kind of an extra deal to get your offensive tape out there. So with him putting that, like going out there and watching the top wide receivers and knowing their moves to help him out there, I think that's why he's climbed so high. I don't want that to be, you know, like diminishing, but as far as like what you hear from like a Troy Polamalu or an Ed Reed, or like even on the offensive side of the ball, Tom Brady, they're film freaks and they learn how to pick teams apart. So just as a translation that's awesome.
No, you're correct. You got to find someone who's obsessed with it, because at that point, everyone's talented.
Yeah. It's a shame the Lions running back room is as strong as it is, because Blake Corum would be a nice addition, right?
Yep. Especially because didn't they just waive Craig Reynolds?
No. At that, and bad on us for not including this. Craig Reynolds is officially tendered. And back, so that was one we forgot to mention. Yeah, Craig Reynolds will be back next year.
And Zonovan Knight. So they
right,
pretty telling that Brad's comfortable with where they're at.
Yeah, they're gonna be sitting on their hands in the running back room. No additions there.
Drew, from the Big Ten standpoint, is there like is there an offensive or defensively, is there a specific room that stands out? Like, you're going to see a lot of DBs from the Big Ten or a lot of running backs from the Big Ten. Like, what room stands out the most to you?
Other than offensive line, because that's cheating.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could just say Michigan's offensive line, because they'll have five guys probably go somewhere in the draft. But, I mean, typically I would be saying, like, Ohio State with wide receivers going off the board, but, I mean, I don't think they really have any with everyone coming back to their program for next year. Through the Big Ten, I would maybe D-line. I think Illinois has a couple guys that were pretty talented. Michigan will have multiple guys go from the D-line. Actually, Penn State will have multiple guys go from their D-line. So I feel like the Big Ten is going to have a big draft class from the D-line.
Did you watch, Drew, any of the combine? I thought the Big Ten was rolling deep at the tight end position at the combine.
I only saw little clips of it just because I don't have the package going right now, so I wasn't able to watch it fully. But, yeah, they are very heavy at the tight end. I mean, you know, traditionally the Big Ten like to run the ball, so that's good to see.
How about a nice little transition here to a tight end from the Big Ten from Illinois, Tip Mareeman. You guys see the quote from him. He says birds aren't real. He says, "Have you ever seen a baby pigeon? How do we know that power lines aren't just pigeon charging stations?" That seems like a Dan Campbell guy.
That makes me feel so much better, because I saw him absolutely, like, you know when a ball hits a guy's hands and they're trying to like be too cool and come down with it. He like volleyball spiked a ball into the ground because he was trying to go too hard, like. Show the coaches, like, oh, I'm going to snag this ball. He just sent it through the center of the earth. And now that the bird thing is like
the baby pigeon. Not to go completely off track, but have you ever seen the meme where it shows pigeons how they make nests? How they don't know how to make their own nests because they're domesticated? It's just like a couple twigs and the egg in the middle. All right, you'll have to check it out on your own time.
Somebody's had too many margaritas, I think, on Ionia Street here.
No, he's probably the nature scenes that you're seeing there, and I won't leak his name because who knows if he wants us to say it. But in I don't know, we'll call him we'll call him Ronald. In Ron's backyard there, he's got quite the National Geographic setup, and I know you spent some time there yesterday, so maybe you
that could be a whole episode in itself.
Yeah, that's incredible. Just
I saw the scene of the crime yesterday. It was a sight to behold.
That was what was that hawk versus squirrel?
Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's what I love about nature. So what do you think about Harbaugh? Switch sides here. What do you think about Harbaugh down there in Los Angeles with the Chargers? You think he'll go biased and try to get some guys from Michigan in the draft?
So, yeah, I can't remember what we all touched on last time I was on the pod. I can't remember if he had already accepted the job or not, but fully expected him to take the job with the – or to go to the NFL if he got one offered. Yeah, I do see him taking – some Michigan guys. I know when he did his, this is just Harbaugh being Harbaugh, when he did his speech to the team after he accepted the job, he told them that he wanted the Chargers to become the Michigan of the West. So, I mean, I think he will be biased and draft some of his guys. I don't think he's going to reach on picks by no means. But like, you know, your free agents or your late round picks, I could see him definitely prioritizing Michigan players.
I would not surprise me at all if he got Corum. Because I think Corum's probably like mid to late draft type player, and it would like with the uncertainty of Eckler and whatever that running back room looks like, that would not shock me in the slightest.
No, yeah, I know he's a big fan of Corum, so would not be surprised at all either.
Are the Chargers still going to target what's his name from the Giants? Who's Saquon? Are they going to still try to get Saquon? Does anybody know?
That I do not know.
Obviously, Saquon's going to be out of New York regardless. He's going to go somewhere. I know that Harbaugh's been big on him and talked about him, but man, a running back room with Corum and Saquon would be pretty nasty.
I've been seeing a lot of mock drafts with them taking Joe Alt or Brock Bowers, but I mean, who knows how accurate those are.
Yeah, Brock Bowers seems like a guy right there.
Yep, they're like, that's why they're like Harbaugh's going after his tight end in the future.
Right. Should have included this in the when we were touching on the combine there, but how about Xavier Worthy's 40 time? My goodness.
Oof. Man, too bad he wasn't at Michigan, right?
Yeah, right. Well, I've seen a couple mocks. No,
yeah,
was it
4.22?
So. Yeah. 4.22? Yes, I think it's 4.22 or 4.21. Yeah.
I mean, the record.
He's like, I don't know. I think as a Lions fan, I mean, you already got Jameson, so do you really got to get Worthy? Get someone a little more sure-handed. He's kind of almost like a carbon copy of Jameson.
Yeah, it's like those guys are just I think what makes Tyreek so unique is he is burner fast but stocky as well. Because the problem with Jamo is he's burner but he can get pushed around. I think it's going to be the same thing with Xavier Worthy.
No, I think
so interesting.
Xavier came in I think he was 6'2", someone said 168 or something
that's
like
crazy.
That. That's break you in half.
That's I think the only person lighter than that on the phone right now is Ben.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. He's 6'1", 172 for the record.
172? Okay.
Soaking wet, probably.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Full grown mullet, probably.
By the way.
But yeah, I'm not sold on him yet, but great athlete.
Does anybody know, should we be on the lookout for any Chippewas taken here in this draft or maybe some boys hanging out in the undrafted free agent market there at the end of her?
Depends if Connor Stallions is still on staff for CMU or not. No, I haven't seen much CMU draft stuff, to be honest.
I think they're always good for at least one. I don't think anybody.
Yeah, I feel like there's always like a corner just undrafted or a safety, something like that.
So it's always the corners and the DBs and the offensive line. Seems like that's their bread and butter. It's what they produce there.
Who's the quarterback? Thick Boy Express isn't going to get drafted?
No shot.
Yeah, I was going to say. I haven't heard good things about that.
No shot. Jim McElwain's probably on a prove it or a make or break season coming up here. I think.
He's clearly been pulling out all stops, so.
Yeah, speaking of college football, like, how excited are we for the college football, the game, like the new game coming out? Oh,
I know.
are we gonna cop that?
Might have to get a system first, but
Right?
that'll be happening.
Yeah,
I've
that's
never been a
like
sports game fan. I don't like that you can the same thing can happen and all of a sudden you just have a DB drop the ball or pick it off. I don't I've never been a fan. I know it's a hot take. Sorry for the people at home. That's
Yep.
okay.
Andrew loves sports games.
I think we need to talk about what they're giving the players that are opting in and how this game was basically held from us for years for the little amount of money that they're giving these players now. Did you
Oh, yeah,
hear what
the
they're
game. What is
getting?
it?
They get $600 and a copy of the game if you want to be in it. Or you can opt to not be in it. So for, I don't know, how many years
Like,
has the, when was Denard's? 2013? Or not even that. It was
yeah,
probably even later.
14, yeah.
2014. So for
Gosh,
10 years, they haven't been willing to pay out like what, a couple million?
how long until, and I assume they're doing that because it's probably just like a generic like $600 across the board.
it's straight up everyone. Like it doesn't matter if you're Caleb Williams or a walk-on.
Yeah, see, that sucks. That is a tough spot because I guess in my mind, how long until you like the players try to unionize again? Like obviously throwback to the TCU team that tried to do that, but
Yep.
I mean $600 for a game that's going to make probably billions or at least
It's
hundreds of
tough.
millions. I mean, but I don't know. At what level do you like, how important do you have to be? Do you have to be like Caleb Williams to opt out? And like how many Caleb
Well,
Williams have to opt out before people stop buying? I don't think people will not buy no matter what.
exactly. It's going to get purchased either way.
The Manning kid's not getting opted out. He's like the only one that I've seen so far that's opted out.
Yep. He's focusing on his play on the field.
Yeah, whatever.
I did see a funny tweet, though. I can't remember who it was, where they were like, well, to be honest, though, if you were in the NCAA game, you would spend how many hours a week just chasing, you padding your stats on the video game if you actually had it.
Right.
It was, you don't have to create a player. You are, you know what I mean?
You are the player, yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I was when I first heard about that a couple weeks ago that that was the package that they were offering them. I was like, oh my God! Like I thought there would be more opt outs than there was actually.
Exactly.
I mean, when you do the math, it's like whatever you know, 600 times. I don't know however many football players. I think it's like $55 million or something. I think
Yeah, I
maybe it's
mean it
not
adds
maybe
up
it's not that
quickly,
high, but.
but it's not as much as what I was expecting with all the fuss that they've been putting out for, yeah, I mean years and years on this topic.
I'm surprised they didn't do a marketing campaign with Chipotle and just give them a lifetime like all you can eat card. Just probably would have made out.
That's actually a good idea.
That's not, you just made me so hungry.
Just get some Chipotle ads in between like touchdowns.
Exactly. Every sign in the stand is
Is
Chipotle.
it
And it's like,
Chipotle? I
Mom,
think you
send
might have
money
just
for
thought of something right now. Yep. I think you
Chipotle.
might have just came up with a marketing campaign for the EA Sports.
If that comes out, we know where that originated.
Yep.
EA Sports. It's in the
Take game.
sauce.
It's in the, oh, there you go. Throw it in the tagline.
Yep.
How about these new rules that are coming to college football? We got finally a modernization. We've got helmet communications, tablets on the sidelines. What is this?
Well, who would have
2024?
thought? Just took a worldwide scandal from the Michigan Wolverines to get them to bring it into
And the biggest thing, probably rule-wise, there's going to be a 2-minute warning in football coming up. Is that
Yep.
going to affect this season?
I believe it's next season. Same thing with the helmet communication, which I'm a big fan of it. I mean, they were trying to shorten the college game last year. Give us the 2-minute warning. I mean, it lengthens it a little bit. Like I said, it just makes it more like JV NFL. So that's what we're getting to anyways with how we're paying players. So why not make the rules the same?
Andrew, Mitch, what do you guys feel like? Do you have any feelings towards there being a 2-minute warning in football or college football?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Why not standardize it? Just get them ready. I mean, if the whole sell is like we're getting some of these guys ready for the next level of football, which I don't, it's not always, but I don't think it hurts the game. It just adds a little more gamesmanship for college coaches. Makes recruiting easier for owners for if you want to hire a coach from the college football realm. How do they handle that extra time out?
Yep, I was just going to say that. The only thing it does help is it's going to help the James Franklins of the world and the people who just have no idea what they're doing with clock management.
So how long until we see the college game go to 2 feet in bounds for catches?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, it's almost surprising that that hasn't happened. So it's kind of, I kind of thought about it like how college baseball, you use a metal bat and then you go to the league and you got to use the wood bat. So it's like, it's kind of like just one of those things that separates the NFL from college. So who knows if they'll ever switch it.
I don't think they'll ever switch it. I feel like that's one of those things that's just like so uniquely college and has been that way for so long. Plus the like it just shows the talent difference when you go from college to the league. Like some guys can make that transition and some can't. It's just I think it needs to stay the same.
No, I kind of agree with you. I kind of like the uniqueness. Same thing with like their overtime rules.
The overtime rules, yeah, those got to stay. That's that I like. I mean, don't know if I love, I think it's been, 3 years now that they do the third overtime is all two, from then on, it's all 2-point conversions. That's a little weird, but still a fun product and always makes you feel like it's something different, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Versus if you lose the coin flip. Well, actually, though, that was switched, correct?
Yeah.
NFL rules for their overtime. Because didn't what was the last overtime? Was that in the... Is the Super Bowl going overtime?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm drawing a blank.
Yes.
And what's his name didn't know whether why they took the ball? That was the big ordeal.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows why they took the ball.
Yeah.
Thought I was losing my mind for a second.
No, I know. It's weird. This is your brain off of football, right?
Yep.
What happens?
Brain off of football and a lot of gin and tonics.
Yeah, so let me ask you before you hop off, Drew, what the little joke I made earlier. Drew was not but a football field away from me the other day. What's your go-to at Luna? Do you go gin and tonic? I feel like you have to go Margs, right?
Oh no, I mean, I'm a big G&T guy right now, but when we were at Luna, I had to go with the Margs. I'm still I like their Margs, but I'm still a little salty that they keep them in like the little. It's already pre-made in like a jug, so I'm not a big fan of that. But yeah, we went with some Margs.
Love it.
Yep. Good time.
Thanks, Mitch, for that unexpected segment. I thought where you were going with that was the thing at the Griffins at the whatever that place is called. I thought that's where you're going.
Van Andel.
Yeah, Van Andel.
That's where we headed right after. Went there, saw overtime again.
But do you want me to say something, Ben?
I don't know. Do you want to talk about it or no?
I feel like I did my thing. We had like a little, kind of like an almost little like meet cute the other, last weekend, but it didn't happen because everyone was kind of pressed for time.
Yeah.
But
you guys ended up going to Dublin, right?
We ended up ordering. Yeah, I think no.
No,
we just had to order. So we kept asking and they're just like, yeah, 30 more minutes, 30 more minutes. And then we just sort of like, and we had the Lioness Cub was at her wit's end. So we were perusing the streets with her and we hit our capacity for downtown. So yes, we were at Dublin.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I forgot that they renamed Tavern on the Square to
Dublin. I know, isn't that weird?
Yeah, stupid. But yeah, we went there, had I think a drink, and then we had to bounce.
Yep.
Right, all right, Andrew, any thoughts? Good thumbs
Not
up.
A single one going through this head right now.
Andrew's thinking, man, I miss Tavern on the Square.
Well, I'm just reading his drink on Kool-Aid as his name.
Honestly, I was going through like what Tavern on the Square was renamed. I was very confused when you're going through those names, and it puts it all together.
They still building that amphitheater?
I
think so.
So they say, really, man. They're moving ground.
Moving ground, breaking ground.
Gotten off topic now.
Yeah,
I'm stalling because I was going to ask Drew one more question. I just can't, for the life of me, can't remember it, and it's going to happen as soon as he jumps off. But
you should put it in the notes.
Ooh.
I just thought of it though, like 10 minutes ago, and now I've tried to circle back. I didn't write it down. So
circle back, put that one in the corporate talk jar.
Yeah, that one sucks. Sometimes it just comes out though. Yeah, I mean, and Let's just leave you on here, Drew, for the talk about the NFL here, because you kind of talked about rule changes. New kickoff rule. Have you guys seen this? Have you guys read much about this?
I'm in on it. I like it. They're basically making it more likely that we actually get some kick returns in the NFL. I love it.
Yeah.
What is the new rule?
I'm going to try to summarize it as best I can, but I listened to Pat McAfee talk about this. And then initially when I read the first couple tweets that I saw about it, I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. But I agree with you, Mitch. I like it because I think at this point with the rule as it is right now, I think 22% of kicks were taken out of the end zone or returned, I should say, last season. So a great portion of those are just touchbacks or fair catches. And now it's the kicker will be on the 35 and the players will be the closer together, right? So I think there's only like 5 or 10 yards between the two teams, right? The two kickoff squads. And then the ball has to land between the goal line and the 20. If it goes into the goal line, the team gets the ball at the 35, I want to say. And then, so you target kicking it between the 20 and the end zone. And you'll be able to take it out from there. And so if you kick it in between there, you know, the hopes of getting them down between the before the 35, right? So you don't, yeah. Anyway, and if the ball
those
rolls,
are some crazy rules.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. If the ball is kicked into the 20 to the zero, the target zone, right, and then goes into the end zone from there, it's not, you don't get the ball at the 35. So, but if they kick it through the end zone, obviously you get the ball at the 35.
And then there's a big change with onside kicks as well. Like you have to declare it, and it's a whole to do.
That I don't like.
Yeah, because the guys are closer, so you'd have to tell them you're.
But
and you kind of know it for the most part, anyways, right?
Right.
Because like, it's so hard. But I don't like that you can't like sneak attack someone.
But it is nice. Well, they're bringing back. You can load one side now. At this point, right now, you could only have 5 on each side, and you can't stack one side. And that was the biggest wrinkle in that new rule that it basically made it impossible to get an onside kick. Now you can stack it with 6 guys on one side.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of changes in this rule over the next few years. I think they're going to workshop it over the next few years, and then it'll be kind of set in stone for a long time. I will say, though, I'm glad that we have Dave Phipp as our special teams coordinator. Guy's a stud and is creative when it comes into that realm, so glad he's there.
Am I a little crazy to say that I thought the NFL wanted to reduce returns for injury-wise, and then they reduced it, and now they want us to get more returns?
Well, an important part of this is neither the kickoff nor return team can move until the ball crosses that 20-yard line or it is touched. So there's not
there's no running start, really.
Yeah, so you're not just going to get blindsided or decked. So
okay.
I think if the long-term goal is to bring kickoffs back because they're basically dead, like this is a good way to do it. Like you're incentivizing the kickoff or defense with a 15-yard penalty, basically, to not kick it through the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
So it's a start. I think it'll get workshopped over the next few years, but it's better than, like, what was it been, like 22%? So only 22% of the time you're going to watch kickoff kick return? That's just kind of lame.
And honestly, when I heard that number of 22%, I was like, wow, that's actually higher than I thought. Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought when you said it.
I mean, you think about last season watching all the football that we did. It was like, I can't even really think of a point in the time in the Lions game where like we saw something notable on a kickoff return. Obviously, there were a few instances, but for the most part, it's like it's just basically been removed. And, you know, as everybody says, it's the bathroom break time. It's the beer time. The nachos time, that's when you do that stuff, because you know the likelihood of something actually happening, very small. So I like it for that. When I first read about it, I thought it's getting way too complicated, but now that I've seen some illustrations and what they're taking from the XFL, I'm optimistic. I think Mitch said it best, you know, it's not a perfect system, but it's better than what we have right now, and that is basically that the kickoff is null and void, and now this might bring something to it and make it a little bit more interesting and not so make it a little more noteworthy. And then the other thing about the NFL rules, this will be brought up in the CBA talks, and the new CBA won't be out till I think 2030. But they are officially going to be pushing for that 18th game, and there will not be another bye week, at least initially as it stands right now. It's just 18 games, still only one bye week. So the football season will get longer, and that will push the Super Bowl to President's Day, the day before President's Day. So it'll be somewhat of a holiday on Monday now, but that won't be for another 6 years.
For all government employees, congrats to you guys.
And others, banks, other places. But yeah, you're right. I mean, not many people get that holiday. Not the blue-collar working men of this country, that's for sure.
You got soft fans.
The players should honestly revolt, or America should revolt on any more extension of the season until the Super Bowl gets moved to Saturday. Can we start that petition?
I'd be down.
Sign it, Joe. You have the power. Yep.
That's the first guy that comes out with that political ad.
Starts out, the presidency. Starts out with the State of the Union, whole State of the Union centered around shrinkflation and move the bowl.
Yeah. Okay, so I did remember what I was going to ask you, Drew, and that was you're going to a movie after this.
Yes.
Care to say what movie we're going to see at the theaters?
We're going to go see the bucket? Dune 2, baby.
Hell yeah.
Might have to get the bucket.
Yeah, Drew,
no popcorn, just butter.
I've heard it's. Where's Tommy on the broomch?
He just went to the bathroom, but he'll be back.
No more editing.
No more editing. Yeah, I'm.
He's back.
God, we are so second rate. I'm excited for that movie. Ben, you're probably a hater. Andrew, you're probably all in on it as well. But I'm pumped. I read the books, and I'm really excited to see the second movie.
So yeah, I heard all the hype about Dune 2 and how it's like the best movie in the last so many years. And I'd never watched the first one, so we watched the first one the other night, and it was pretty good. I mean, going in knowing that it's a trilogy, that was very important, because I always hate when you finish a movie and you're like, what the hell is that ending? So yeah, like the first time I saw Hobbit.
Oh, don't get these guys started on that.
Oh, well, sorry, we're not as cool as you, Ben. Let's go talk about Texas weather and pickleball. Well,
hey, that was the other word on the bingo card that I wasn't going to bring up.
I digress.
I've heard good things about Dune. I'm not a hater. I haven't seen it though. But yeah. Did you guys see that the correlation with Bitcoin and Dune? It's kind of funny. Every time there's been a Dune release, Bitcoin's been at an all-time high. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Interesting.
Yeah. Suspicious.
Even the 80s version?
I don't know I didn't know that there was an 80s version.
Heck yeah, dude.
News to me.
That movie was bad.
I saw clips of that too, and I was like, what the hell is this?
That movie was not good.
We'll let you go here in a minute, but I want to get your thoughts on this. The chain game might be removed from the NFL here, and they'll be testing that out. League officials said, and technology isn't expected to be ready for rollout in 2024, but it would require a vote. But the future is coming, where you know AI, robots, technology takes over doing the chain game and spotting the ball.
You said this is for NFL?
Yes, the NFL has tested an optical tracking in two stadiums in the Super Bowl last season for line-to-gain rulings. And like I said, not going to be in this season, but maybe the next one, maybe in the 2025 season.
I mean, I feel like people have been calling for that for a long, long time with some of the horrendous spots we've gotten. Just kind of like anything that's going to change, like Andrew was saying, they're going to have to workshop that, I bet, a ton. And I really can't wait till the first time it messes up, because people are going to be pissed. So that'll be quite entertaining.
Especially the bettors.
Oh, exactly.
Well, and you know they're going to have some sort of backup system.
Yep, because they're going to be like, it's rigged. It's all the computers.
How do you back up, though? I feel like, if anything, the AI would be the backup for the referee. Who backs up the AI? You just have a referee that's like, I don't know. I saw
it. It's like, it's the guy they bring in for the rules.
Blandino's just like, yeah, I really think the robots are off on this one.
they'll still be bringing those guys in. Nothing gets me more than when they come in and they say something that it's clearly like, and then maybe they get the results on the field and they're wrong every time.
I feel like they must like cut to commercial and Blandino's like, fuck.
God damn, I'm over 7 today.
Right. This is a, we're a little removed from this, but I know you. Are you still a Duke fan in basketball?
I am not huge, but
All
I mean, I
right.
paid attention. I put some bets on it last night, so.
Where do we land on the whole court storming thing?
And that, yeah, that was brutal. Like, that almost made me not want to be the Duke fandom that I do have. When I watched Kyle Filipowski run into a student on purpose and then act like he got shot by a gun.
I'll do something else, Drew.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure
I
you saw
saw.
him last night against the Tar Heels.
Oh, man. Someone, I think it was Big Cat for Barstool, said he should get comeback player
He tried to
of
trip a guy last night.
the year. Oh, I know. I was like, oh, man, he's channeling his inner Grayson Allen.
Seriously, what is that? Is there just something in the water at Duke?
It might be. If you're white and you got a Duke uni, you just got to either trip people or knee them in the balls.
Lean into it, I guess. I'm trying to read the notes, but people are typing in it. The other thing I was gonna talk to everybody, this is for the whole crew here. Have you guys seen or followed any of this whole MLB Fanatics uniform thing about the fact that the Fanatics is making the jerseys now for MLB and they're essentially see-through?
It's porn. Yeah, it's porn.
Well, yeah, that's one way to call it, I guess.
I might start watching MLB again.
This might change some things. Viewerships might go up. Screw the
I
pitch
saw.
clock. This is the uniforms is going to be what does it.
There was a Barstool sketch where they remade the scene from Moneyball, where they're all in there with the draft scouts, and they're like requesting like which players to bring up or sign. And when they do it for Barstool, all they do is they sign like Kate Upton and just any hot looking girl, just because of the new jerseys.
Sydney Sweeney, the one that
Yep, the
everybody's
whole
talking
thing.
about right now.
Yep. They're like,
Yeah,
we lose
that's
every
wild.
game, but we'll sell all the tickets.
Yeah. And here's a one last trivia question for you, Drew. Do you know why Easter is the day that it is?
Oh, Ben.
Why Easter is the day that it is? This is a trivia question.
No, Drew. No. Okay.
This is a setup.
No. We just had this debate. I had known about it and the fact that of why Easter is where it is, but Mitch was.
This is a discussion for not on the podcast. I asked this before the podcast in
I
the
thought it was
spirit
funny.
of healthy debate.
Oh, okay.
Especially because I knew where Andrew would stand.
It's all
Yeah,
hearsay.
I don't know what the answer is to that.
I don't know. Something to do with the moons, and it's like the first full moon, or I don't know. Ash Wednesday is always the
It's
second.
hearsay, brother.
And
Yeah.
that's when Jesus r rose from the dead. I was on a full moon.
Right. That's the confusing part. That's where we landed it. Mitch's whole thing was, why is Christmas on a consistent day and Easter's not? Which it's a great question.
He's got a birthday, but
Full moon. I have an actual trivia question. This is what I wanted to. This is what I snuck on here for everybody. Who was the Bears' last 4,000-yard passer?
Rex Grossman.
The Bears' last
Was
4,000.
it not Jay?
Okay, so we've got a Rex Grossman. We've got a Jay Cutler.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Smokin' Sigs, Jay Cutler.
They've never had a 4,000-yard passer in their franchise
Oh,
history.
well, you can't do that.
That's a trivia question, Andrew.
Oh my God. The hell was that?
Papa Burgundy liked that question.
Talk about trick questions. Yeah, God dang, those really punch back sometimes.
I guess that makes sense. The Bears have just really never had that kind of quarterback. They've always been defensive heavy, even back in the 80s, right?
Well, now they're going to have Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And his painted fingernails.
Oh yeah, the guy from Duke has those too, and it's a big topic. I guess he's big on TikTok and he sings too.
The guy from Duke?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know his name,
Like I said,
but
I've been out of the basketball for the last couple of weeks.
yeah, so are we all excited for March Madness?
Most definitely.
Yeah,
I'm
me
a
too.
little sad not watching Michigan play, but it is what
Yeah,
it is.
it is what it is. It's just fun to do brackets. We got Selection
Exactly.
Sunday next Sunday. Which is a nice little transition to the outro, which is we'll be back in about a week ish. Probably be next Sunday. Drew, I think you're off. I can't remember the schedule that I sent you, but I think you're off that week, and then we'll bring you back in April for the draft preview.
Perfect, perfect.
And then we'll be on the cruise ship together during the draft, so which will be interesting.
Do a live show from the cruise.
I know that's
Drew's invested.
Yeah, these guys wanted me to do that, but I said no. I suggested that they do an episode without me and see what happens.
Oh. Ratings go through the roof.
You guys get in touch with Tommy, and it's just
you're gonna come back with a huge Chipotle sponsorship.
Hey, everybody eats. That's when we know we've made it. That's when we can check that box. But yeah, I think it'd be great to have Mufasa and Drunk on Kool-Aid lead the show. In my unbiased opinion. And Drew, on the next episode that you're on, we'd like to have a debate about some things that we want to talk about between the four of us, which is debating the best class or the best sport in gym class, the best school lunch, and Little Debbie's slash snack rankings.
Debbie's or snack rankings.
And then the Lions tight ends rankings. That's a topic for another day, though. That's what we'll talk about in about a month when we bring you on for the draft. For now, it's closing time, and we'll get out of here. And at this point, Drew, there's no sense in you hopping off because we're done. So,
all right,
we'll be back in about a week. Like I said, free agency starts tomorrow. NFL season kicks off on Wednesday. 2024 season is here. We're all excited. Lions got a lot of money to spend with the salary cap, and this is when they do their best work in the offseason, in the draft. Good days on the horizon. Let's go, Lions. We'll see you all, shareholders. Let's have a great week. I'm out.
Hey, out.